Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number tonight, 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And please, when you visit us online, pick up a backstage pass and watch our streaming video of our show, listen to all of our archives, and also download our latest podcast. Episode 4 is up and ready to go. Just hit the podcast banner there at philhendryshow.com. We've got the story that was rather prominent yesterday. Actually, today is when it broke. Thank you. Today is when it broke. So, and not more than a few hours ago, that George Zimmerman, the man charged in the shooting death of Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman's bond has been revoked. That is the bail that the judge did not set, because Mr. Zimmerman had said his family was financially strapped, that they had, an economic burden already in terms of just making, you know, paying the bills, and they could not possibly afford any of the bond money that they might set in this case. And so the judge essentially let him go either with lowered bail or none at all. And he has been given 48 hours to get his act together and get back to the gendarmes, to the authorities, whether it's the sheriff or whether it's the judge himself, and be remanded back into custody, because he wasn't honest. He had a website raising money. R.C. Collins is joining us from Bradley Military Academy tonight. R.C., I know that this is something you've been following.
Yes, sir. We looked at this today in...
Can you just speak up a little bit for me?
Yes, sir. We looked at it today in political science and in our criminal justice, and we heard the news as it did come over. One of the teacher advisors, Lieutenant Stinson, who is our political science teacher...
He's a lieutenant in the Army?
He's a lieutenant here in the command structure. Bradley had come in and said that Zimmerman's back in, and that apparently he lied, and he had money, and he said to the judge, no, he didn't. And so naturally, it kind of took the wind out of our sails.
When you say it took the wind out of your sails, what do you mean?
Well, I think we were like a lot of people in the country who really wanted to believe that George Zimmerman was, you know, trying to protect his neighborhood, and you know, they'd had a different sorts of people who'd been coming into the neighborhood and had been, you know, maybe causing a problem or making people nervous or something. And then when we heard about the shooting and everything, we were supporting him, but now we find that if what the judge is saying is true, you know...
Well, here's what they said. They said that Zimmerman had this website, and it was a website for a defense fund.
Yes, sir, that's what we heard.
Okay, and that he'd already raised about $200,000. The thing that I think...
What was the figure?
It was over $200,000, I think. But the thing that I was talking about before the show, I was talking about it to our BSPs in our pre-show... This has been in existence. Zimmerman raising money for a defense fund has been around for a couple of months, it seems. I don't understand how it is the judge suddenly, hey, wait a minute, what's with this money?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Even if it was, as you say, that it was, Zimmerman still should have been more forthcoming. I mean, you know, when you have people such as myself, Mr. Hendry, I'm a member of a military academy, I'm aspiring to, you know, eventually someday be in West Point and to be in the United States Army, you know, and then I believe in a guy because we want to support the guy, and all of a sudden he's nothing more than a liar, you really feel as if you have, you know, you've been sort of bitch slapped a little bit, like we say in the business.
All right. Okay. 877-876-PHIL. Talking to R.C. Collins here about the George Zimmerman story today. Mr. Zimmerman's bail has been revoked by the judge. The judge saying that Mr. Zimmerman was not honest in telling the court about his financial situation. He made it appear as if he did not have enough money. Reading from the Miami Herald story that is part of the coverage of this story today, it says here that Zimmerman was ordered back to jail on Friday for misleading the court at his bond hearing. Seminole County Circuit Judge Kenneth Lester revoked the bail for Zimmerman, who's facing a second-degree murder charge of the shooting death of Trayvon Martin. Zimmerman, who was not present at Friday's hearing, must now surrender to Seminole County.
Yeah, so they even gave him 48 hours to, and I don't understand, but, I mean, look, I think basically this is going to go bad for him. I don't know, we'll not go find a jury or anything.
You're a high school guy. I mean, I like your opinion, and I want to hear this, but you're essentially in a high school, right?
Well, it's a military academy, Mr. Henry. It's a little bit different.
But it's high school courses.
Well, the high school courses that we take, no other high school kid would ever be able to take. Okay?
Well, I don't understand. Why?
Well, because we're in a military academy, and the high school courses that we take are way more involved with also the military and the training that we do. So, I mean, you're saying that to say that I shouldn't comment.
No, I'm not saying that you shouldn't comment, but there may be legal issues here that Mr. Zimmerman didn't see.
Well, no, I can assure you, Mr. Henry, that this is an area, because I'm at a military academy and I'm interested in defending our country, I'm going to be a little bit better versed in how to defend the country, and that includes spotting people that are trying to chump change. You know, as Commandant Wireman said to us, he addressed an assembly yesterday, and he said that it appeared to him that Zimmerman tried to chump change it.
And who is this again?
This is the Commandant of our school.
Commandant Mr. Wireman.
Yeah, Commandant Wireman, yeah.
And he was giving you an assembly, he was addressing an assembly, right?
Well, yeah, it was Chaplain Charlie's 53rd birthday, so we was all in there for that, but then Commandant Wireman, he doesn't often feel compelled to speak about something, but I'll tell you, it was pretty inspirational because he was very moved and he was very angry.
We're going to get him on the line here in a moment to talk about that. R.C. Collins joining us on the Phil Henry Show as we talk about George Zimmerman. So your commandant feels that Zimmerman has chump-changed you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I do feel chumped by Zimmerman. I feel you treat me like a chump. And I'll tell you something right now, Mr. Henry. I mean, I'm ready to go out and die for my country. You want to chump me? You don't want to open that door. I mean, that's all I'm saying. You don't want to open that door because, and there's a lot of us here. I mean, Zimmerman, he wanted us to believe that he had been being followed by this kid who was going to maybe break into a house or do other things to people. And it turns out that Zimmerman probably now did kill him. I mean, I'm beginning to think that.
Well, okay. Now, that's what I find. Why would you think that just because of this bail situation?
Because the man has shown that he is now dishonest. And if he lied about that, what else did he lie about? Okay?
All right, well...
No, but answer that question. If he lied about that, what else did he lie about?
Well, if he lied about that, I don't know. You know,
well, think about it. If he lied about that, well, what else? I mean, I want before you, if you don't mind, I want an answer.
Well, I don't. If he lied about that, then you're saying that he lied about.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm asking you, if he lied about his finances, what do you think what's the other thing he lied about?
That he lied about?
Yeah. What part of what I'm saying don't you understand, Mr. Henry? I mean, we're a little bit upset, okay?
I understand you're upset. I don't like being given the third degree here. I mean, I'm
sorry. I didn't mean to do that, but I do want an answer. What did he lie about?
Do you understand that you're saying he lie?
I didn't say he lie. What did he lie?
Okay, maybe I'm not hearing you. What else did he lie about? I guess it would be, and you're saying...
No, forget about what I'm saying, okay, Kemosabe? I'm sorry, Mr. Henry.
I've got to take a break, okay?
Take your break in a minute. I'm just asking you if you could just answer me the question. It's nothing that's that tough. What else did he lie about?
I know where to, what it is you think, that he lied to the police, okay?
That's what I think. What do you think? God.
Hey, kid.
Don't call me kid. I mean, I'm sorry, but...
You know, I know you're frustrated. Don't be pressuring me for answers. I don't know that it necessarily... If you're asking me, did he lie to the police?
No, I'm not asking you. I'm asking what you think.
No, not necessarily. I don't know. He might have lied about the bail money, but I don't know that it means that he lied to the cops about...
Well, I mean, the people are saying that Trayvon Martin, on account of he got arrested for the marijuana possession, that must mean he probably wants to go in a guy's house and do stuff in the house. And we've had people, I got a guy here that I know who was, he was taking his clothes off and like going into people's houses and just sitting in their houses with no pants. Was it no pants, sorry? Yeah, no pants. This guy's going into people's houses with no pants on. And then he'd leave a note saying, I was in your house and I didn't have pants on. It sounds stupid, but that's the kind of weird behavior that's out there. But if that didn't happen, that's what I want to know about.
Well, I don't know if you're talking about Trayvon Martin.
Yes, sir.
I don't know that that was. I don't think that young man, personally, I don't think he did anything wrong. I think there was a situation where this guy Zimmerman was very aggressive. But I will tell you this. If you want me to say, oh, George Zimmerman lied about the money that he had, that means he lied about everything else. I can't necessarily go there. Just like I can't say, oh, because Trayvon Martin smokes weed, he's now a thug. It's ridiculous to say that. I was a 16, 17, 18-year-old kid once. I smoked pot. I can assure you I was not a thug. I might have shoplifted, but...
Yeah, okay, now you admitted it.
Never mind. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. With me is R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. Commandant Wireman from Bradley Military Academy is going to join us in a moment as we talk about George Zimmerman, who has been a big letdown to you. And I've, to be honest with you, I'm not sure that the feeling is shared by that many people.
I don't know, Mr. Hendry. I'm just, you know, when you look at a case like the George Zimmerman case of when he shot that kid, you don't know. I mean, it doesn't matter, really. I mean, unless you're talking about a jury pool, it doesn't really matter what people are thinking. But in this case, it's pretty popular, and people will watch it in a way that they watch the O.J. Simpson, which was a big trial. Oh, and also Casey Anthony is also the same way.
Right, okay, so there's a lot of people watching it. But what has that got to do with what we're talking about here?
Well, I mean, what we're talking about is whether you think the guy's guilty or innocent. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, in a lot of ways, people were saying, well, they think he's, you know, they want him to be guilty the way that they wanted O.J. Simpson. Or, I mean, a lot of people want him to be innocent, I should say. And
well, I think it's split down the middle, don't you?
No, sir. I think it was mostly people that wanted him to be innocent. But now that they found out that he lied about the bond money, they probably would want him to be guilty. And
do you want him to be found guilty?
Yes, I now do. Yes, sir. Now I do.
Okay, let's talk about this, though, for a minute. You want him to be found guilty, not because the evidence shows that.
Well, yeah, the evidence does show that he lied, and so now...
Just to follow your thinking, if he lied, then he must have lied to the police?
I don't know. I don't know if he lied to the police or not.
Then why would he be found guilty?
I want him to be found guilty because...
Wait. I didn't ask you... I know you want him to be guilty, but don't you want justice to be served?
Yes, sir, I do. Yes.
Okay. What if justice is served by him being not guilty?
Well, I don't think that's possible, because now... He's a lie. I mean, he lied, so that's why I want him to be guilty.
You keep saying, though, that you want him to be guilty.
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's not the same thing as saying, I think he's guilty.
No, I think he's guilty.
Don't you believe that that's a better way of putting it?
I don't think I'm following you, sir, and, you know...
Well, let me try to explain.
Well, let me just say this. I don't really follow what you're saying, and I don't really think it matters. I feel personally insulted by George Zimmerman because it's like if a friend of yours said, do you have $5 or whatever, or $10 like a friend of ours? Remember Jerry Seahorn, right? He said, well, you got $10, I'm going to go get a six or a beer. That's the last time we saw him. And that was like, I remember that was last year, right? So this is a friend of mine, okay? And so I said, I hope that guy gets hit by a car and dragged, you know, because it pissed me off. If you understand what I'm saying.
No, I don't. Your friend ripped you off for $10.
Yes, sir, but what I'm saying is, my feeling was he's guilty now, and I, you know, in my own way, I wanted him to get hit by a car and dragged.
Well, I don't get it. Let's get Commandant Wireman here.
What don't you get? I mean,
What I don't get, what I'm trying to say, do you think he's guilty?
I want him to be guilty.
No, do you think he's guilty?
That's the same thing, though, Mr. Henry.
No, it's not. It's not the same thing. To want a guy to be guilty and to think he actually is guilty are two different things.
What?
Or you listen to me for a second, okay? And then we'll get your commandant on the line, and he'll help me out with this, I'm sure. What I'm saying, RC, is do you, if you want a guy to be guilty... It may be you want the guy to be guilty because you just don't like the guy. You want the guy to be guilty because, I don't know, it'll get him out of the way because you dig some chick and you want him to go into jail. I don't know. If you want a guy to be guilty, it could be a million different things. But that's different from saying he is guilty.
Well, it sounds to me like, you know, you're doing the pooch. You know,
what do you mean, doing the pooch?
Well, I mean, it just sounds to me like what you're saying is just another way of just doing... Just, you know, hunching a pooch and getting your jollies. I mean, it doesn't sound like you're making any sense.
You know what, man? Okay, let me get on here. And I don't really appreciate being talked to like that by a high school student.
I said I'm not a high school student, Mr. Henry. I'm at a Bradley Military Academy.
You may be in a military academy, but you're taking high school classes. Let's get Commandant Harvey Wireman on the line with us here from Bradley Military Academy. Commandant, sir, how are you?
Yes, well, I'm very well, thank you.
And, sir... I understand that you gave a speech today.
It was at an assembly. It was Chaplain Charlie's 53rd birthday, and the students assemble for Chaplain Charlie's birthday every year, and we'll present him with some gift. I think they presented him. What was it, Cadet, this year?
We got him some binoculars.
And then I gave him, it was binoculars today. I remarked, in fact, in the statements that I made, that this was a vile betrayal of everything that we hold sacred as commandants in the military, as the cadets in the military academy, and those of us, the officers who serve these young people and try to get them into a lifestyle and a way of living and being that means that they are, for the first time in their lives, having normal interaction with human beings as opposed to some of the deviant places we've found these young people. Like R.C. himself here, and I don't think, Cadet, you might... by me saying, was a goth.
Yeah, I was doing a lot of stupid stuff.
Today I said to the assembled students, I said, George Zimmerman has betrayed everything we stand for. And I was very emphatic. And I remember my fist came down on the lectern at one point. I know it scared the students.
Well, yes, sir, but you were emphasizing a very important point.
I was so disgusted that I took off my jacket, I took off my cap, and I threw them into the ranks of the students and just walked out.
Why?
It was at that moment I felt like quitting. Everything that I've ever done, every young person I'd ever helped, when I read the news about the betrayal here of Zimmerman... And
I got to interrupt you, Commandant.
Yes, sir.
Why'd you interrupt the Commandant?
Just hold on. I got to interrupt you. George Zimmerman is a guy who's been accused of murder. He's some defendant in a criminal case. He has some problems, don't we all? Why are you so attached to this case? Why is it so important to you and your students? Why are you throwing your cap and your jacket into the crowd? And you know what? If you could just hold on to your answer, because we're going to come back here in a moment. All right?
talking to the commandant in a way that's disrespectful.
Hold on for just a minute. I know I'm not being disrespectful. Harvey Wireman, R.C. Collins on the betrayal of George Zimmerman, as they're calling it, a guy that they felt was innocent, but now that they found out he's lied, they feel that he's guilty. 877-876-7445. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
In 1957, that's when I left the Army. Are we on the air?
Not yet, no.
Phil Henry.
Yeah, in a minute. Welcome back. You're the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. We're talking about George Zimmerman and the fact that the judge has now told Mr. Zimmerman to report to the authorities by Monday. 48 hours, he's going back into jail because he, according to the judge, lied about the money that he had. We have with us Harvey Wireman, the commandant at Bradley Military Academy, along with R.C. Collins, both of whom feel and have stated betrayed by George Zimmerman.
And the other point, Phil.
Well, hold on. I want to get to a phone call, and then we'll make the points. 877-876-7445 is the number. Here is Brandon. Go ahead, Brandon. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, how we doing, guys? Well, I was, you know, you listen to so many different radio stations and the newspapers, and when I first heard about George Zimmerman, you know, I thought he was just doing his job. I didn't think he was guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he tries to hide.
Well, it's the same way to me, too.
Well, you know, and then he tries to hide the fact of saying that he didn't have no money at all when it was donations over $200,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else is the guy?
And the other part of this is this that's weird for me is the judge is ruling on this now. This guy's website was well known to us in the news media, and I was reporting it 2 months ago.
I didn't know anything about it.
I think if we'd known about it, Mr. Henry, I think we would have, just like this guy Brandon said, I would have been way more against him. So I think the news media let us down, too, in not reporting about it. But I thought George Zimmerman was innocent, too, and I'm a member of a military academy, and my whole thing is to defend America. But now this guy's lying about how much money he's got, and he's kicking it. Yeah.
Mr. R.C., did you hear about when... back when it all first happened, you hear the story on, well, you know, he was just, you know, he's just defending himself, and, but did you also hear?
I heard that guy, that Trayvon Martin guy, come up on him and step to him, and he goes, what's up with this, and did what I would do, what you would do. You took that 9mm, you know, basically like Lil Wayne says, hey, you know what, tell it to my 9.
Yeah.
Tell it to my 9.
I heard that he, you know, busted in the head. He was all pretty roughed up, but, you know, I mean, you just hear different stories, and I was just appalled, you know. I was on George Zimmerman's side, man, until I heard about the $200,000 deal.
You know, that's kind of funny. It's really funny, and I'm not saying you guys are wrong. I had the opposite view, because listening to the tape, it sounded to me like he was sort of harassing this kid, following him, being told not to follow the kid, and the kid probably got angry about being followed. But either way... this is, I think what we're hearing here, this is a comment on George Zimmerman's character.
That's exactly what it is. It's a comment on the character of this guy, because I agree with Brandon and I agree with Cadet Collins. you know, that Zimmerman, to me, was a guy that was out taking, he was driving, and here comes some kid with, some punk. You don't know what's going on, and R.C. put it in a way that's not as elegant as I might, but as they do say in the hip-hop world, what you talking about, tell it to my 9.
Exactly.
Okay, I don't know that I would be educating young people.
Well, these are military cadets. It's a different...
Yeah, Brandon?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Just tell it to my 9.
Yeah, okay. Brandon, thank you so much for your... Thank you, sir, for weighing in on this. I appreciate it very much. 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Henry Show. I think that's a little rough.
Well, we're living in a rough world, Mr. Henry, and the Zimmerman said to this kid, you know, what's up now? And
yeah, because I think he was driving his truck just seeing if there was anybody going into a house, and, you know.
They'd had reports of someone, I heard R.C. Collins saying, they'd had reports of some young man going into these houses and just sitting in the houses with his pants off. That was the report.
All right, let's say they had that report. Do you think that that's, is that, what is that?
Well, it's breaking and entering, Mr. Hendry, and it's also, you know, it's the kind of act, it's a very aberrant act, I think.
If it was my home, I will tell you, I would react negatively in the extreme. I don't know why, but the very thought that if I was miles away from my home and I knew that somebody was in my home and all he was doing was removing his pants and sitting on different pieces of furniture. All right, so are you following me so far?
Yes, sir.
Because what I'm saying is may not make sense to you, but... if a guy is in my house, I'm miles away. I got to start all over.
I know what you're saying. If you're in, was this something that was going on in the neighborhood?
Yes, sir. There was reports that there was. Well, I told you that the one guy that goes to Bradley Military Academy done that.
Who was that?
Cadet Peters.
I was not aware that Cadet Peters was engaged in that.
Yes, sir. He was. Yes, sir. He was.
At this name, where this guy Zimmerman lives?
No, sir. He was in California.
Well, I want to finish my point. And
look, what you're telling me is that there was some level of activity going on in this man's neighborhood, this George Zimmerman's neighborhood, that had him on alert, and he was looking around and looking around. Now he sees the kid walking down the street. He targets this kid.
See, that's just it. I don't think he targeted the kid so much as he had in his mind the idea of someone who had been breaking into the houses with his pants off.
When he saw this kid walking down the street at a time where you might just now be clearing the area, and forgive me if I'm using military, I'm using military terminology, but if he's clearing the area at about 6 o'clock at night, you can well imagine a logical thinker would say, all right, he has completed breaking into several houses, removing his pants and doing and committing this act. Now he's clearing the area.
Exactly.
And so it would be logical for Mr. Barton, or for Zimmerman, to Zimmerman. Zimmerman?
Zimmerman.
Zimmerman to say... I got eyes on a guy who's on his way to the guard gate here, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to interdict and...
Exactly.
I would appreciate if you quit saying exactly.
Well, he's agreeing with you. All right. 877-876-7445. Let's go to Art. Art is on the line here from Culver City, California, and we're talking about the George Zimmerman case, ladies and gentlemen. George Zimmerman has been ordered back into custody because the judge feels he lied about his personal finances. He had far more money than he let the judge on to believe, that he let the judge believe. He had a defense fund, and the judge finally said, wait a second, why is this guy out walking around? You know, let's put him back. Art, go ahead.
Bill, yeah, I'm enjoying the program, and I'm enjoying the comments.
Speak up a little bit, sir.
Yes, sir, I'm enjoying the comments of the two gentlemen. Mr. Zimmerman, as you said, has enough money. Why is he being put back in jail?
He lied to the judge.
No, but I understand that he lied. But if he has money, then why wouldn't he be in? Why wouldn't he just go to the jail and post the bond?
I don't know the answer to that.
Well, he lied to the judge, and there's no real answer to that question. It's nothing that the judge is going to tell you about. You have to just take it on faith that the judge, he lied.
That's pretty much what's going on here. That he lied, but we don't know the thinking of the judge.
Wait a second. What do you mean you don't know the thinking of the judge?
I'm just wondering why he can't go to the court and say, all right, accident, you know, I was holding out, here's the money, let me post the bond, and be on my merry way.
I think it has more to do with the veracity of this man that he insulted the court. The court...
What does that mean?
Yep.
No, hold on. I'll tell you what it means. The court is not going to stand for any kind of insult to the honor of the court. They will not stand for any lying to the court. If the judge extends himself to a defendant and says, all right, I understand this, that, we will allow you to retain your freedom or whatever, you know, if you post 10% or whatever you had him do, and then the judge finds out that he lied, judges are going to be pissed off by that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I can understand why a judge be pissed off, but, I mean, I'm just saying... I sort of see what the guy's saying, though.
It's not about money, though, because the judge at that point is going to say, this guy's a liar. He insulted me by lying to me. He's not treating this court the way he should treat this court. He has to have, you got to have, and you have to enforce in anybody, whether they're prosecution, defense, whether they're they're on trial or whether they are part of the prosecuting team, you have to enforce in them respect for that court, the rules of that court, the judge's own presiding is, you know, his generalship, if you will. You got to have respect. If the judge doesn't see that that's happening, and if you're lying to the court and you're taking advantage of the court, he's going to go back to jail.
What you're saying is that he's being petty.
See, that sounds petty.
No, it's not petty.
Why is it? Why wouldn't it be petty?
It's not petty. It's something that is time honored. It's been going on for years and years in courts all over the world. You don't screw with the court. You don't screw with a judge. You don't lie to a judge. Look what happens to people. You know, well, that one lady, man, in that Casey Anthony trial who blurted out something, man, she looked like she was going to wet her pants. When that judge, Belvin Perry.
Well, Belvin Perry, he's my main man. He rocks the house.
Yeah, Belvin Perry's pretty much, he's badass.
I didn't like it. I thought he was playing everybody for a chump. He looked like a black Oliver Hardy.
And all right, hold on. I'm not that interested in what you guys think of Belvin Perry. What I'm trying to tell you is the following thing. When that lady blurted that stuff out, Belvin Perry had her in front of the court, and he read her the riot act. Why? Because he wanted to enforce in her, listen, lady, you're not watching TV. You're not talking to your friends over a coffee. You're not... You are in a court of law, and I'm the judge, and if you say that again... He let her off, man.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I think he only gave her, like, a one night in jail, and that's it. He said, I remember him saying, by all rights, I had to give you 10 nights in jail, but I'm going to let you off with one night, and don't you ever... No, he didn't say that.
Yeah, that's what I would hope he would. You know something, Mr. Henry, when I gave my speech before the students yesterday... That's what I did. I said, and if George Zimmerman ever, ever expects me to trust him, and I said something that I regret, and I'm sorry, Cadet Collins, I said, that Mexican, and remember when I said that?
Yes, sir, I do.
And I said, excuse me, students, let me back up. That, you know, man of I think I called him what?
No, I mean, I think you said that he was Norwegian or...
I didn't know he's Norwegian, but I said that... Hispanican is what I call him.
What is a Hispanican?
Hispanic American. And I said I apologize for saying that Mexican.
Anyway, Phil, thank you.
Thank you, Art, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's get back to some phone calls in a moment. We'll take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. That Hispanican. Okay, so anyway... George, that's why George Zimmerman wasn't given a break by the judge. The judge, you know, this is not about, oh, wow, yeah, I got the money, judge. Let me just come in and go ahead and lay down the 10%. No, 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 no. You lied to me. You lied to the court. You're making a monkey out of me. You think you're going to chump change this court? Talk about chump change. Because you think you're going to chump this court? Your ass is going back into jail now. That's exactly the way judges think. That's how they do it. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show talking about the George Zimmerman case. He's going back to jail.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
And the other thing that happened was when Zimmerman, they were up here.
Hi, folks. Say it. Phil Henry. Say, you listeners in San Francisco, I believe that we are delayed in San Francisco. I'm sorry that I think they're delaying the broadcast. I don't know. I don't know. Nobody tells me anything, man. I'm the last guy to find out anything. So I think the situation in San Francisco is as follows. It's a delayed broadcast, okay? Beyond that, you got me. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. As we talk here with Harvey Wireman, Cadet Collins, and your phone calls about the George Zimmerman case. Now, we just heard from a man who brought up the fact that George Zimmerman does have money, even though he did lie to the judge. And the judge, you know, is still putting him in jail. And I said, and you guys don't share my opinion, that's because the judge doesn't want to be chumped.
You know, you talk about the judge, he doesn't want to be chumped. George Zimmerman chumped me. And,
yeah, he chumped me, too, as a cadet at the school.
Well, he chumped you, but, and I say this with the greatest of respect to all of our students, you are lower than me on the pecking order.
On the pecker order?
I didn't say that, did I? And I will ask Mr. Hendry to cut off Cadet Collins if he tries to get smart-ass with me. Again, I will ask Mr. Hendry.
I've got it. Would you please say what you want to say?
Yeah, sure. Whatever you say there, boss.
Wow.
Anyway,
I'm trying to move this thing along. I'm dealing with a lot. There's not a lot of intelligence when it comes to discussions of these kinds. You guys...
Are you calling me a dumbass?
No, I'm not calling you a dumbass. But you cats need to kick it out.
Mr. Henry, you just don't get it. That's not our culture.
I apologize.
You cats. I happen to be a commandant at Bradley Military Academy, one of the oldest military institutions on the West Coast. And some of the people that have come out of our school, General Bullock, Admiral Fishington, I don't know. I made that name up because I don't have the sheet. Where is it?
Well, I'm not in your office, sir.
I'm not asking you. I'm asking Delilah. Where's the sheet of the illustrious alumni that we've had? I know their pictures are on the wall.
All right, sir, I don't have time to talk to you, okay? We got to move on.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. George Zimmerman, because he has, at least according to the judge, lied, what is the story now? Is he guilty? Is he not guilty? Let's go to Rudy. Hey, Rudy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. How are you, sir?
Phil, I'm doing good, and thank you very much for having me on your program tonight. I'm listening to these...
I heard you the other night. You were going...
I'm listening to these gentlemen. If you will allow me to say what I want to say, please. I'm listening to these two gentlemen talking about the George Zimmerman case. I think they're missing the point. And
what does he mean about Delilah?
The two gentlemen, could I finish what I'm saying, please, sir?
Please, let him finish.
They're talking about George Zimmerman. He must be guilty because he lied to... I can tell you, coming from the experience that I come from, I've known women that lie. The reason why I'm bringing up women is because of my country of origin is Argentina. And we have great experience with liars. Okay, we had a military junta in Argentina.
Those guys lied, huh?
Oh, yes, they lied to the point where our country went to war against Great Britain. We were humiliated before the world in the Falkland Island war. I'm familiar. I studied the battle plan of the Falkland Islands. Where you made your major mistake...
Hold on. We're not talking about that right now.
Can I continue?
Go ahead, sir.
In my country, where we have had military junta, and we've had the lying, the filthy lies of the generals, the women of our country, who are the most beautiful women in the world. Understand, the Argentinian women are second to none in terms of their physical beauty. Second to none. But they lie, you see. They lie. I had the mistake of marrying a woman. Today, I'm a single man, and I'm a happy man, because I have a great many women friends. So I'm not saying that I am promiscuous, but I will not put up with a lying cow, you know.
What do you mean about a lying cow? American women get married.
Talking to this child, that's the one proviso. I will not talk to the kid. And did you tell the screener that? I did. I told the screener I'm not talking to some punk kid.
Well, I'm here to talk about a lady being a lie.
Kid, why don't you... Kid, here's a nickel. Don't call somebody who cares.
And, RC, just be quiet for a minute.
Thank you. Now, the woman... She lies. She lies like a dog. She lies like a rug. Nothing lies more than the cow. And the cow will lie. The cow, of course, lies for many reasons. The cow will lie because the cow needs to lie. The cow will lie because the cow is but lying. What does the cow do? The cow will lie. And when she does, and you are meant to look like this term that the general used, I'm not a general, sir. I'm a commandant. the term that the commandant used, he said, chump change. That's perfect, because the women of Argentina chump me, you know.
Yeah.
So they did chump you. Yes, they chump me. Yes, they chump me. This thing of the man going into an appointment with his pants off, that happened to me. It's a woman that, and I will use the term, I don't like to use the term, is a woman I dumped. And
you mean you dumped her as your girlfriend?
Yes, that is correct. I dumped her. She had her brother come into my home and sit in every piece of furniture with no pants. So she lied.
How did she lie?
Because I called her up. I said, did you have... and I asked her very nicely, did you have Emilio come into my home? Did Emilio come into my home and sit in every piece of furniture with no pants? And she said, no. I said, you're lying, cow. I said, right away the cow lied.
How did you know she was lying?
Because I could smell the kid.
Well, this guy's got a specific smell.
Thank you. Now, these cows did lie.
All right, thank you very much, although you never once mentioned George Zimmerman.
Well, I'm getting to that.
Well, that's great, because we have to break. That's the end of the hour. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Wow. By the way, Michael McKean is out of the hospital of Spinal Tap fame. Michael was hit by a car in New York, but he's doing fine. He's out of the hospital. We're glad to hear that. And we'll have more on that in our News and Information Hour. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445.
Phil Hendry.
Live.
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they sure as hell can't, so they don't. Anyway, welcome to the show. Join us online at philhendryshow.com. That is the online home of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have live streaming video cast every night. I've had a lot of calls from people listening in San Francisco wondering, where's the show? I'm told by our technical director and associate producer, Dan Northcraft, that our radio show in San Francisco is now delayed. It is a DB, what we call a delayed broadcast. To what time? I believe it's probably 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. We'll find that out for you. But thank you, San Francisco, for checking in. I got to be honest with you, I didn't even know we were on live there.
Yeah?
No, I thought we were delayed broadcast for a long time in San Francisco. They must have taken us off a delayed broadcast, put us back on live, and then put us back on delayed broadcast. That's the best way I can figure it. I don't know. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center is going to join us, and we're going to talk about a controversial move, a controversial program that he at the Northern California Holistic Center has enacted. Are they in the middle of a religious service of some kind? Dean, how are you doing? It's Phil Hendry. I don't want to interrupt anything, but we did want to talk to you about the what we've been hearing about your Native American program.
That's okay, Phil. We are in the middle of a Native American. This is a Native American ceremony. It's a purification ceremony, but we can talk about it. Okay, they're almost done. It's great to be with you, Phil, and I do appreciate very much you having us on your program tonight.
What is this Native American program where you are declaring or you are essentially naming people official Native Americans?
Well, Phil, it started with myself and my wife, Emeralda. We were reading that the native cultures in the United States are, as I guess would be a normal or a natural thing, many of them are beginning to erode. Their young people are growing up and are not embracing the old ways. And so what is happening to the old ways? Well, it's they're being lost. And so we felt that the only way to save Native American culture would be for people who understood it, as well as the Native American people themselves, but more importantly, people who understood it from outside of the Native American community, who have contacts and connections in the broader culture, to embrace the old ways themselves and make themselves honorary I don't want to use that word, but it, in essence, an honorary Indian.
All right, an honorary Indian.
Well, it sounds a little silly. I prefer to just use the term, we are Native Americans.
And well, when you say we, this started when? Last month?
Yes, it started in, we're in June now, it started in April.
Okay.
And as I said, I've been talking to Emeralda, I talked to Jay Weisberg, I talked to Gary Hutton, who are all, by the way, Phil, Native Americans, and they agreed with me that we had to begin to reinforce the Native culture. Look what the white culture has done to Native Americans. It's you know, you just don't like to think about it, but they've almost wiped it out.
Well, I understand that, but when you say that you're naming Native Americans, how can you do that?
Well, you do that, first of all, by going through a purification, you go through a sort of, I guess you want to call it a honeymoon period, but we call it the quandary, and then you name...
Are these Native American rituals?
Yes, they are. If you're asking, were they created by me? Yes, they were, but I'm a Native American. And if you ask me, how can I be a Native American, it sort of brings us back to square one again, doesn't it?
Well, that's the essential question, though, Dean, you know, because...
Well, it's the essential question, but my answer for you, Phil, is that I've proven myself to be an Indian. I have embraced the ways of the Indians. I have embraced the spirit. I've embraced the buffalo. I've embraced whatever you want to call it, teepee making and... Just everything, but...
Do you really feel you understand Native culture to the point where you are a Native American?
I really do, yes I do. I really, really do. And I've checked myself on that many times. Emeralda has.
And you are both Caucasians, right? I mean, by that, I mean white people?
No, not anymore.
No, but I mean before you became Native American.
Yes, we were Caucasian. Emeralda, in fact, has bright red hair. She's my ginger. She's my beautiful wife. I am myself very fair-complected. My background is Norwegian. Before I became a native, I was as white and as Caucasoid, I guess is the technical term.
Caucasian,
as you could ever be. But since my ablution and my coming into fruition, coming into knowledge of myself.
We're talking with Dean Wheeler.
Hold on. Since coming into knowledge of myself, I have become Native.
All right, we're talking with Dean Wheeler of the Northern California Holistic Center, and we're responding to some news that you were generating in Northern California, and some Native peoples are not reacting positively to you, are they?
I don't know that any are not.
I have at least a couple of news items here. Chumash Tribal Council, there's a Hopi. Some of the councils in the Bay Area of Native people were not reacting positively to a white man declaring himself a Native American.
Well, I can't speak for every single one of the Native council. And again, the Native councils that I'm talking to, Phil, are former whites. So you need to understand, the Native people that I'm talking to are Native Americans, but they were white.
Who declare? Is this one of those declaring themselves Native?
Yes. One of the people, as a matter of fact, Phil, you might know who he is. Bill McCord was a friend of yours at one time?
No, not a friend, but he was in the broadcast business.
Okay, so Bill learned from me the ablutions. He learned from me the processes and the rituals. And he has been naming people Native Americans in Sacramento now for about 6 months. So it's going on.
Wait. You're confusing me, though, because what you're saying is...
Well, you asked me if Native Americans were reacting negatively, and I told you, no, they are not. We're getting very positive reaction from the Sacramento Native Americans.
Who used to be white people. What I'm trying to find out is who are the by birth Native Americans that are accepting this ritual?
I don't know. We're not really keeping track. I'm not anal that way. I don't mean to say that you are, Phil. We've got a lot. There's a bigger job to be done, and that is to save our Native Indian people. Can I tell you a story, Phil?
Yes, you can, but I'm really going to be coming back to this time and again because I think I need a better answer.
I'm trying to give you the best answer.
When I ask you, are there Native American tribes or tribal councils or representatives who are okay with you naming yourself a Native American and naming other people Native Americans, and the only people you can think of are Native Americans, so-called, that used to be whites, that named themselves Indians? I don't think that's a good enough answer.
Can I tell you a little bit of a story, Phil?
Go ahead, very quickly.
All right. We were traveling by car when I was a young man, no more than 5 or 6 years of age, and we were traveling back to where I'm originally from, which is North Dakota. I'm originally from Fargo, North Dakota. And we came upon a store where we were stopping to get some colas and some cold drinks and some of the sandwiches that you can purchase. And my mother was there, and she was looking at the sandwiches, and I went back to the where the cold drinks are, and we selected some drinks. I got a ginger ale. My mother got some chicken. My father got a chicken, and I got... I'm trying to think.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, so we went outside. I heard a commotion, and I went outside, and I was struck. It was a little 5-year-old boy in Native American traditional dress doing a rain dance, and the people were all enjoying it. And it was at that time that I thought, I can do that too if I ever need to. At that time, I had no idea that that young boy was that what that was something that wasn't going to last.
That little boy doing the rain dance.
Yes.
All right, we're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Now, what we're hearing there is some music from Dean's Holistic Center. Apparently, that's a Native American ritual of some kind that's going on. He's anointed himself an official Native American, and he is basically christening other people as Native Americans, no matter what their culture, no matter what their race, no matter what their traditional belief, as he is trying to shore up what he believes is a diminishing, vanishing culture. 877-876-7445. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I know I could be that if I needed to.
I don't know what station we're on in San Francisco. I'm being very honest with you. I don't know, okay? I thought we were on KNEW. Our affiliate list says KNEW. Apparently, we're not on KNEW, so I can't tell you, okay? Because no one tells me. What the information they give me is information that apparently is not true or not, doesn't exist. All it takes is a phone call. I'm not up in the middle of the day. I'm working at night. I got a lot of people calling from San Francisco. Say, where is your show? Where is your show? Where is your show? Call KNEW and ask them what they're doing. Ask them where our show... Did you get rid of the Phil Henry Show? Okay, great. Congratulations. That's about the 900th bloody time KNEW has decided, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes. At this point, I could care less, man. You go ahead and you put on Coast to Coast, and then you do whatever your sales department can sell real easy. You guys just go right ahead and do that, okay? I don't want to rock the boat, man. I don't want to rock the boat, okay? I don't want to get anybody upset. So where are we? I have no idea. Why? No one tells me anything. 877-876-7445. Sorry to involve you in that, folks, but that was... Do you still have this religious ceremony going on?
We do, Phil, and it's a Native American purification process. We are inducting... Jay Weisbach and Gary Hutton as Indians tonight. And are they almost done? They're going through their purification, and then they're going to do the fire walk, which is not really a fire walk. We call it a fire walk with me, because I'd heard the Twin Peaks theme. And I think there was part of the Twin Peaks theme that said fire walk with me. So we incorporated that. and some other things that that we have seen.
All right, 877-866-7445, Phil Henry Show. Let me go over to Scott on the Phil Henry Show. Scott, go ahead, sir.
Hey, first of all, Phil, if you're not rocking the boat and making people mad, then you're not doing it right. But just keep doing what you're doing. And
There's some people that don't like to have their world rocked. And, you know, I'm just the talent, you know, so they don't tell me anything. But I'm supposed to keep my mouth shut, too. So go ahead, sir. What's your comment?
I'll just say, I mean, no ceremony, no seance, honeymoon period and firewalk.
Official Indians.
Not really firewalk. None of that stuff is really going to change your ethnicity. And you just kind of need to accept who you are and be who you are. A Norwegian Caucasian coming up with some ceremony and something.
This is Dean Wheeler, sir. What exactly is your experience in indoctrination into culture?
Indoctrination into culture. You can accept the culture all you want. I mean, I was in Korea, and when I served in Korea, and I accepted the culture there, but that doesn't make me Korean. I mean, I don't go and proclaim myself to be Korean because I enjoyed the culture so much.
I think you're missing the point.
Let's let the caller finish his point.
All right, fine.
I'm just saying, I mean, I understand you cherish the buffalo and make teepees, but Native American Indian, does that not make you? So I think you just kind of need to accept your ethnicity, have an appreciation for the culture, and just be proud of who you
are. How is this culture going to survive if we don't literally start making more Indians? That's my point. It's very basic.
Let's say Jews. How are the Jews going to survive? How are the Israelites going to survive? How is anybody going to survive?
You can become Jewish. You can go to the synagogue and you can become Jewish. You can go to Israel and you can become an Israeli citizen.
All right, hold on, gentlemen. You're talking over each other. Go ahead, Scott.
I apologize. Go ahead.
No, Scott, you're up, man.
Okay. American Indian is an ethnicity. It's not a religion. So you can't just become American Indian. You can't change your ethnicity because of a ceremony.
You brought up Jewish. I was just responding to what you said. And you can become Norwegian. You can become Norwegian if you go to Norway. And you become, and you go to the Norwegian, Norwegian Bureau.
Norwegian immigration.
Yes, Norwegian immigration.
It is the same as, I understand what you're saying. You become Jewish. I was referring to the more Old Testament Israelite, but yes, you could become an American by moving to America, but you can't become Native American by moving to Native America. Just because you move to a place or you adopt a culture does not change your ethnicity. You're still Norwegian. You can become a citizen of the United States and you're an American and that's fine, but that is your citizenship status. That is not your ethnicity, and you can't change that. And just saying, I don't want, Native Americans to perish, and I agree with you, it'd be a tragedy if they did, but it's their heritage. It's who they are. And you can't change that with a ceremony.
Well, I think that what we've done, Scott, I think it's going to really turn the world on its head, because what we're doing is a first. There's no question. And the other thing is, yes, we have trained ourselves in as many of the old ways. Am I doing it exactly the way it should be done? We are checking this with other Native tribes, which, yes, used to be white people, but the smoking of a peace pipe, building a teepee, the war hoop. We're teaching ourselves these things.
The war hoop. What is the war hoop to you?
I don't understand your question.
When you talk about the traditional Native warrior yell, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
What can you give us an example of it?
Yes. I mean, you've all heard it. It's just that one.
Okay, that's a cartoon character, a Hollywood thing.
What is?
That whole stupid stuff. That's not what Native warriors did when they went into battle. They had a variety of different war whoops that were ways of communicating what their orders were for each one of their battalions or each one of their units of warriors, because these guys went into battle the way any army goes into battle. And those war whoops were communicating to the warriors in their individual unit where they're supposed to go, when they're supposed to charge.
What? What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? When you go loo 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 loo, that's something from a cartoon.
And I don't mean to interject, but a bunch of white people, a bunch of Caucasians, saying it's okay for a Caucasian to become American Indian does not give any validity to what you're doing. A bunch of Caucasians who decided to become American Indian and then say, yes, it's okay, and I accept what you're doing as a Caucasian to become an American Indian, that does not give any validity to what you do.
Well, I can assure you, sir, that the people that have said to us, you're being an Indian, yes, they are Caucasian. They used to be.
You're acting Indian. You can't be something you are not. You are not. That is not your state of being. That is.
I don't understand.
In your deepest part of heart and soul and ethnicity and heritage,
yeah,
who you are.
Listen to what he's saying.
You're not being an American Indian. You are acting American Indian. And you are acting Native American. That's not who you are. That's what you are acting as.
Well, what is a Native American but someone that acts like a Native American?
Someone who is, or their lineage is Native of America.
Moccasin making, spear fishing, teepees,
all
buffalo,
all things
stuff,
I can learn how to do.
Yeah. All right. Hold on. We got to take a break. Thank you very much for your call, Scott. I appreciate it. 877-876 Phil, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, as we talk here with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California. Can you get that flute player?
Jerry, back off.
877-876-7445. Dean Wheeler, who's basically called himself, is proclaiming himself Native American. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Jerry, if I need you, I'll call you. You don't have to blast my ears out with that.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's 877-876-7445, and it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I'm just right now writing an apology to my BSPs for having the audio feed turned off during that last segment. We've been generally pretty good about it, but we've had so much distraction tonight with these questions about... What station are you on in San Francisco? I don't mean to mock you guys. I don't know, and we've got Dean Wheeler on the line with us here from the Northern California Holistic Center as we discuss a very controversial program that he has unilaterally implemented there at the Holistic Center in Novato, and that is the christening or you call it a proclamation?
It is a proclaiming. You are now an Indian. And it's nothing, Phil, you're not the citizen of a country. That's not how it works. And to comment, if I could, to go back on, and I thought Scott's comments were, his questions were very good.
I thought they were excellent, and I thought he made an excellent point. You can't just decide you're something.
Why can't you? As Scott said, you can become an American citizen, and I know I'm not an Indian citizen. There's no country called Indian country or anything like that. It is simply a culture. But can't you become Jewish? Yes, you can. Can't you become Norwegian? Yes, you can. Can't you become...
Why do you call it Norwegian?
I'm sorry, Norwegian. I get confused by the different terms because I think recently Norway has acknowledged the influx of Africans into their country. And have given them their own allocation, their own northern allocation, which is Norwegian. And that has to do a lot, Phil, with the DNA. They're looking at archaeologic DNA, and they realize now that the individuals that live far north near the near the Arctic Circle are closer to the hunter-gatherers than are the farming people. And I'm proud to say that our people were farmers. My people don't come from northern Norway. Where they were hunter-gatherers, and
really never weaned themselves off of, to be perfectly frank, just tearing animals apart with their bare hands.
Okay. I mean,
Well, the hunter-gatherer tradition is the Native American tradition, but also being a farmer is. And I'd much rather be a farmer than an animal that crawls onto the back of a buffalo and tears its throat out. I just find that to be very, very wrong.
Well, you can't judge that. I think we're getting sidetracked.
Yes, we are. I apologize.
Dean Wheeler, let me ask you, Dean, and our number 877-876-PHIL, how do you proclaim, this is a proclamation?
Yes, it's a proclamation.
That they're Native American?
Yes. It sounds like you're not very well prepared, so I'm going to just give one-word answers and just see how well you handle it.
I'm handling it very well, Dean. I mean, what I'm doing is I'm holding back. If you don't think I'm handling it...
Oh, you're holding back.
Yes, I'm holding back. I could be really laying into you here, the way a lot of people were, you know.
Well, go ahead and lay into me. I don't care.
Okay. It sounds like some sort of a typical...
It's typical. It's typical. So I am a stereotype.
You are very much a stereotype of a white liberal.
There we go. Thank you. Ding, ding, ding. All right, kill the music. Kill the music. Jerry, kill the music. Hold on, kill the music, Jerry, because he just said white liberal.
Okay, you know, have your celebration later on. We're still doing the interview.
I know, and I just want to, what time is it?
11:30.
What did I pick?
You're on the air with me here, Dean, okay?
Yeah, hold on, I won the pool. Emeralda said 11:15, you said 11:20. I said 11:30, it's 11:37. I win. I'm sorry, just one second, Phil.
We're talking with Dean Wheeler. Yeah, go ahead. He won a pool when I would first say white liberal.
Go ahead. Where's the money?
You were holding it.
I wasn't holding it. You were holding it. Where's the money? Emeralda? Get the coconut jar. I'm sorry, Phil. Go ahead.
Are you with me here?
I'm with you. I'm sorry. But you have to understand, Phil, that all night long we had a pool going as to when you would say white liberal, and I won. Because I knew that you'd begin to characterize me in that way. You'd say that I'm a... they've begun the ritual again. That you would say that... And I know I'm speaking loudly. That you would say I'm a white liberal, and I don't know what I'm talking about, see? Give me the money.
Dean Wheeler... Yes, exactly, Dean. You are a white liberal. It's stereotypically white liberal to say, ooh, I'll swoop in and save the day because I care about the folks here. And you don't, because you trifle with their culture, and I'm going to, you know, you remind me of the kind of person...
You know, just a minute. Where's the money? I don't know where the money jar is, Phil, and it's concerning me.
I don't care where the money jar is, all right? I'm trying to interview you.
I understand that, but we're purifying three... I know you don't like me saying it. We're purifying three new Indians. What? You better get that money jar to help be Jesus.
Wow, aren't you just chilled out and all Native American?
What?
If you don't get that money jar...
I didn't. I'm kidding around. Yes, I want to know where the money is, because that's 20 bucks is 20 bucks. What? You think you're looking for it? Get the money! Hold on, Phil. I'm sorry, Phil.
No, I'm not going to hold on. I'm going to hang up.
All right, just get the money! He's going to hang up on me. He's going to hang up on me. Phil...
I'm going to use an example, all right?
Okay.
You know, it was 3 years ago that a helicopter flew over a native encampment in South America, and below them they... What is with that flute?
Come on, Jerry, back off, okay? Jerry is taunting you, Phil. Don't do it, Jerry. It's not Indian-like. I was going to say Christian. I guess I can't do that. Where's the money at? I resent what I'm about to say, and forgive me for what I'm about to say. Emeralda, if you don't get that money, I'm going to slap your face until it is... raw meat red.
Oh, my God.
What did you just say to that woman?
Don't worry. But don't get nervous.
I'm getting nervous. What did you just say to her?
I don't mean it. I said I'd slap her face.
Yeah, if I hear you slapping a woman around in there, there will be cops at your Northern California Holistic Center.
Phil, I have battled domestic violence. You know I come from a violent background.
I know that. It doesn't forgive any violence. I don't care how hard you're trying.
Oh, my God. I've got Indians here. You won't even give me a break.
No, I will not give you the break of slapping a woman. No.
Go ahead, Jerry. Hit it.
So is this it now? You're going to harass me with the flute?
Jerry Weisbach, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Jerry. See, Phil, two can play at that game.
I'll just hang up on you. And if I hear it one more time, I'm hanging up on you. If I hear that woman slapped, I'm calling the cops. And if you keep screwing around with me here...
I apologize.
South America, a Stone Age tribe is discovered by people who are flying over the jungle looking for evidence of this tribe, and I believe that there had also been some strip miners and some other kinds of speculators in the area. Now, they immediately return to base. You hearing me?
Yes, I'm listening.
They immediately return to their base, and they say, well, we have discovered a Stone Age tribe that completely unaware of our existence. They had their spears. You can see the pictures, folks. They're online. And my point was this. Somewhere in that tribal council that night, after they saw that helicopter fly overhead, there were people sitting around saying, what the hell was that today? And there might be a wise man saying it was a giant insect.
Oh, God, you really think that Native people are ignorant, dumb clowns?
No, I'm actually quoting one of the native people that they interviewed once who, when he first time he saw a helicopter, he thought it was a giant insect.
Okay.
How are you going to keep those people from talking about that giant helicopter they saw?
You can go in a very limited way. You can go into the tribal area and say to them, you know, we're here to help you. Please forget that I'm here. I know it sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, it sounds so ridiculous, I think I'm going to laugh.
Well, Phil... We're doing the best we can with what we have.
And thank you, because earlier this evening on my pre-show, I said the most evil set of words in the world is, I'm doing the best I can. More evil and more stupidity has reigned by jackballs with that as their marching orders. I'm doing the best I can.
Oh, boy, are you an ass. Jerry? I'm sorry, Phil.
Okay, I'm going to hang up now.
All right, forget it, Jerry. All right, okay. Please don't hang up. Where's the money? Where's the money? We've lost, Phil, somewhere in the neighborhood of five bills.
Boy, you really are worried about that money, huh? Did you hear what I said?
About the Stone Age tribe.
Yes. There's no way in hell, that any peoples can be kept away from others. Once they're discovered, they're discovered. You can say, let's not go down there and mess with those Stone Age people and let them develop purely and along the lines that they should develop along, but they saw the helicopter. They're going to talk about that. Their young people are going to say, is there a world out there that you haven't told us about?
Oh, yeah, right. Their young people are way more good. Their young people are way more good. Our young people rebel and hate with good reason, because they should hate what we've become. But Native young people love being, you know, Indians. And
oh, sure they do. I'm sure they just love the alcoholism, the poverty. Oh, yeah.
Mr. Henry, that's not fair.
Well, are you listening to what I'm saying? There's young people in that Stone Age tribe saying, what was that helicopter? What was that bird that we saw? What's out there? Who's out there? We want to go see.
No. And Native young people don't do that. Only white and black, but white blacks. It's what the Native people call the black white man.
Who's that? Black people?
Yes.
The whites and the black white people.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Dean.
Oh, sure. You're going to hang...
No, I'm just putting you on hold. We'll be back with our final segment with this brain surgery. Wow. Woo! We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, as we continue talking... As we continue talking to Dean Wheeler about the places that he's been, and as we continue talking about him making honorary Indians on The Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Dean Wheeler is with us from the Northern California Holistic Center as we continue talking with Dean about this very controversial program that he is involved in And that is the naming of Native, basically saying if you want to become a Native American, well, you can become a Native American. Just allow us to, I suppose, indoctrinate you. Dean, I'm hearing a lot of motorcycles.
Well, I got my wife, Emeralda, is right now. She's we found the money, and I've told her that we're sending her out for beer. Get a 24. What's good beer, Phil? If you don't mind me asking.
Heineken.
No, don't get that. Get some Corona. Get 24-pack of Corona, honey. Yeah. What did you say is a good beer?
I said Heineken. It's not pee water.
All right, let me get the money. I'm sorry, Phil. Just one more. Honey. Yeah, get Corona. Don't get that. Don't get any Budweiser. You come back with Budweiser, I swear to God. Then I don't care if they do call the cops. Did you hear what I said? If you come back with Budweiser, I won't care if they do call the cops. You're not hearing what I'm saying? Honey, I said, if you come back with Budweiser, I don't care if Mr. Henry calls the cops.
Why are you threatening that woman?
Nothing. I love you. Just get a 24 of... Yeah, get a 24. Okay, bye. We'll go back in the house. Jerry, don't use my motor. Don't... All right. Emeralda's going to use the bike. Phil, you were saying to me that the Native people, you can't make new Native Americans. And then you brought up a Stone Age tribe in South America. And here's where I tripped you up, or perhaps you tripped up yourself. Guess what? They're from South America. I'm talking about Indians up here. Oh! Oh!
Oh, what? Did you just burn me?
Oh, yeah, I did. I'm talking about Indians, and you're bringing up some Brazilian Aborigines? What a... That was a major, major, major problem on your part, Mr. Henry. Is she back already? She's back already? Hold on, Phil. Honey?
Hey, if you keep going out and checking on the beer...
Hold on. Keep your pants on. Honey, did you get it? Did you get the beer? Did you get the beer? She didn't get it. She left some of the money here. I'm not going to hit you. Just get your ass on the bike and go get some beer. Yeah. Okay, bye. Okay, so,
You know, I've been listening to you talking to your wife like she's a servant. I've been listening to you going back and forth with that flute player.
That is a Native American ritual that's taking place. We are proclaiming Native Americans.
How many of you proclaim tonight?
Because you've been interrupting me, only two. And we've been on with you for I don't know how many hours.
Only an hour.
Well, we started this at 6. Why have we only done 2?
I don't know.
He doesn't know. Steve doesn't know. So I...
Well, I'm not the Native American proclaiming guy. You are.
Well, we've only done 2. You better pick it up. That's a lot of flute playing for him. But the point that you made about the Aboriginals of South America, Mr. Henry, is an asinine point. The reason why we are not dealing with this, these are Aboriginals from South America. These are not Native American people. She's back. Hold on.
I'm not going to hold on anymore. Do you understand?
Hold on for just a minute. What'd you do now?
I don't know.
Oh, my God, Labatt. Oh, my God, Labatt.
Oh, oh, oh.
You have to admit, Mr. Henry.
Did you hit that woman?
She came back with a 24. Oh, my God, why did you do that? Get back on the bike. She came back with a 24-pack of Labatt.
I don't care what she came back with. Did you smack her?
Oh, my God, you have to admit it was worth it that time.
No, I'm not admitting anything. She came back with the wrong beer?
Yes. Even if she didn't come back with Heineken, it would have been better. Get out of here and get more beer. Get out of here and get the right beer before I hit you again. God.
Dean, I hope you've got a little overnight case packed because we've already called the cops.
That is absolutely unfair. She came back with Labatt's.
I don't care if she came back with Labatt's. I don't care if she did. I have never in my life met a bigger phony baloney than you.
You know, Mr. Henry,
I've never met a bigger phony baloney than you.
You know, Mr. Henry, I have...
You are a phony. Phony. P-H-O-N-Y.
That's not... not how you spell phony.
Did you hear me?
Yes, that's not how you spell phony.
How do you spell it?
P-H-O-N-E-Y, right? Yeah, E-Y. That's what Bill said. She's back. Go make sure it's the right... I'm not even going to go out there. I won't even go out there, Phil. Make sure. If it's not the right beer, so help me God.
Hello.
She got Heineken. Tell her to go back and get the Corona. Get out of here. Get her out of here.
So your senator, she's taking the...
Do I talk much?
Yes, I do. I'm talking to a douchebag right now, and it's causing me to be really angry, and I'm not being able to pick my words the way I want to, and so I'm stumbling over a few. That's right. So she brings back Heineken. That's not good enough. She's got to go back for the Corona. Woo! Where'd you learn to drink beer, man? Where did you learn?
Buddy, I've been drinking... Let me tell you something. I've been next to the suds a lot longer than you.
Well, that I believe. That I believe.
Oh, you think I've got a beer gut?
No, but I think your mind is pickled in this stuff. I think the way you've been treating your wife tonight is unbelievable. I think you're a big phony baloney with the whole women's rights thing, a big phony baloney with the Indian thing, this guy playing flute, you're proclaiming Indians. Who and what gave you the right to proclaim anybody Native American just because you know how to make moccasins and spearfish? You are something, man. You are a joke. Is that her? Is she back?
Can I go out and check?
Yeah, but if you hit her, I swear to God.
Well, the cops are already coming.
Go ahead.
What'd you get, honey? Well, she did it again. Get out of here. God damn it. Hey, Steve, what's wrong with you? Can I? He's a man, so watch this. Ow! Yeah. How'd it feel? I want to know. Describe it for me.
It hurt.
That's right. You'll get another one, only this time my foot. He's the ass that did it. He said to her, if they don't have Corona, or you can't find Corona, do Labatt's, do Heineken as a fallback. So I didn't do anything wrong. He did. Please, I hear she's back again. Please, God, let it be Corona. Let it be the Corona. Go ahead, Steve. Check.
Yeah, hit me again.
I will hit your ass again. If she comes back, what's she got?
Mickey's wide mouth.
Mickey's wide mouth. Tell her to get out of here. Get out of here. Come here, Steve.
I didn't do anything.
Come here, Steve. Yeah. Roundhouse kick, Phil. I just caved his jaw in. Mickey's wide mouth?
Oh, my God.
Cops there yet?
I think I see their lights.
Good. See you later. Bon voyage. Mary.
Mary? Oh, great.
World famous Phil Hendry show. She came back. I got to admit, though, she is pretty stupid, you know?
Yeah, I mean, good. Mickey's white, Matt. That part, I'd hit her myself.
Just shut up, bud. We'll be back with our news and information hour coming up next here on the world famous Phil Hendry show. Uh-oh. I think I hear Emerelda.
Phil Hendry.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, as well as online at philhendryshow.com, where you can watch live streaming video of Phil TV and HD of our show. You can also join us online after the show and check out the show log that we always post there. We've also put some new material in our archives. February of 2001, the entire month is there, and I have been told by our close personal friend Alex, who's in charge of our archives, that we're going to have the entire archive finished. That means that the full and complete, as far as we've got it, there's some months that, frankly, we're still looking for. Who knows? But we will have a full and complete archive just about from for over a decade's worth of Phil Hendry shows. And I mean full shows at philhendryshow.com. So get a backstage pass. You can throw your money away on all kinds of stuff online. But ours is a great deal. By the way, hit up our link to the podcast, the free Phil Hendry podcast, which we're now doing twice a week. We've got episode 4 up, episode 5 coming on Monday. Now, wait till you hear this. And, Bud, don't say anything, because I know you're a rare case.
But you're going to say the zombie.
Yes, I am. Just, you know, wait till you hear this, folks. And I really want to know, can we find the people? Is it possible to find the people that actually called the CDC to ask the following question? Do zombies exist? because that's what happened following several disturbing incidents involving cannibalism that have set the internet aflutter with rumors of an impending zombie apocalypse. You love this? The Center for Disease Control and Prevention has released a statement on Friday. This is what our federal government is having to do. That there is no cause to fear the walking dead. The CDC, so the next time you are upset with a senator or somebody costing money with this, that, and so on, let's always remember Mr. and Mrs. America ain't far behind, man. They won't disappoint you. The CDC does not know of a virus or condition that would reanimate the dead or one that would present zombie-like symptoms, agency spokesman David Daigle told the Huffington Post. This is not the first time the CDC has addressed zombies in the past. The government agency has released several tongue-in-cheek warnings about the undead. Now, however, the CDC, and don't give me some, you know what they're going to say. They're going to say, well, see, that's why people believe, because of the tongue-in-cheek.
Well, so what are you saying?
What do you mean, what am I saying? Did you hear what I just said, or did you not hear what I just said?
They don't exist.
No, they don't exist, which is what I've been saying to you for 6 months. You don't believe me, though. You got to wait for the federal government to come out with a statement. You know this costs money. You want to talk about money. This costs money. This guy's got to stop down, do a press release. He's got to talk to the media. And he has to say, with a straight face, there's no zombie.
No, he doesn't have to do it for a straight face.
Yeah, he does, because if he's joking around, people are going to think he's joking around.
Yeah, he's got to have a straight face so people will believe him. There ain't no zombie apocalypse. Then what did he say?
What do you think he said, man? What did I say? There ain't no zombies. There's no zombies, man. You're just going to have to accept that, okay?
I'm glad there's no zombie. You tell me there's no zombie, I'm very happy that there's a lack of them. Because I'm not saying I believe in them.
No, not at all, man. No. You were just sweating buckets there for a while.
I wasn't sweating buckets.
Yeah, you were, man. When you heard about that guy in Miami, we're following up that other guy, the gay cannibal.
Yeah, but what about the gay cannibal?
What do you mean, gay cannibal? What the hell is that?
That one from that Chinese guy?
I got to tell you something, man. I've been going through the news today, and the news today is whack. And I'll tell you something else. This is very customary of America. See, this is why, if you don't know history, then you sit here with your thumb up your rear end thinking that everything's coming apart. But this is very customary of America when we are going through difficult times. You track it. You track it. When we are uneasy as a people, we generally make popular fantasy and horror. That generally becomes very, very big on the charts in America. It was true in the 60s when we were going through all kinds of stuff with civil rights, with the urban centers erupting with violence and riots, with Vietnam War tearing the country apart. Guess what we had? My Mother, the Car, The Flying Nun, I Dream of Jeannie, The Munsters, the this, the that, the something else, every kind of goofball thing, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, that was all comedy.
All right, so it was comedy. Whatever. It took the shape of comedy then, because probably comedy was, there was a comedy renaissance happening in the 60s. But the fact is, we were into this real escapist crap. Here we go again.
What was when the Night of the Dead came out?
That was 1968, Night of the Living Dead. That was one of the greatest horror movies ever made. But, and then, of course, World War II, and the Depression, good God, man, Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, the this, the that. You know.
What about the 50s, though? They said the 50s, everything was good.
Oh, was everything good in the 50s? No, it wasn't. We were freaked out about atomic bombs, Cold Wars. No, man. Probably the best we felt as a nation was like the early 60s when it was all of that bye-bye birdie and all that crap, you know, the Nutty Professor. That wasn't crap, but goofy stuff like that. Anyway, this is not the first time the CDC has addressed zombies. In the past, the government agency has released several tongue-in-cheek references. Now, however, the CDC decided to weigh in on the zombie question in earnest following a vicious attack that happened in Miami on Saturday when Rudy Eugene, age 31, was shot and killed by police while devouring the face of a homeless man. The victim, 65-year-old Ronald Papo, survived, but the incident has left his face horribly disfigured. Eugene, who may have been high on drugs known as bath salts at the time, seemed invulnerable to the bullets piercing his naked body until the moment he collapsed. Oh, horse dung.
Well, yeah, but that guy shot him 5 times.
Well, the cops shot him 5 times, which doesn't mean that it took 5 bullets to kill him. It means that the guy didn't feel, probably, the first couple of bullets. But he was dead already. He was a dead man already.
Well, what do you mean?
Just what I said. He might not have felt the first couple of bullets because whatever it was, if he was indeed on some sort of a drug, there might have been some kind of a anesthetic effect of how hyped up and just completely over the top the guy was. Just because you don't feel it, just because you know your adrenaline is pumping so hard, man, that it's keeping you up off the deck for a few extra seconds, doesn't mean that you weren't already a walking dead man. That guy was down. As soon as the cop put the first bullet in him, depending upon where it went, he was dead. On Tuesday, Alexander Cunha, a 21-year-old student from Maryland, admitted to murdering his roommate. This is this gentleman, and then eating his heart and parts of his brain. Now law enforcement officials are on the hunt for Luca Rocco Magnota, a porn actor who allegedly killed and dismembered Zhu Lin, a Chinese man believed to be his lover, and then raped and ate flesh from the corpse. He packaged and mailed other body parts to political offices in Ottawa, Canada, according to the Daily Mail. The gruesome parade of crimes involving cannibalism has continued with a man in Sweden who allegedly cut off and ate his wife's lips, followed by a story out of New York where a man chewed the ear off another man at a Staten Island restaurant.
Well, how do you explain all that? That's pretty weird.
Oh, will you relax?
That is kind of weird, though, man.
It's a bunch of psychotic people. What did we say the other day about what psychotic people do? They're processing the culture around them. Back when everybody thought they were Napoleon Bonaparte and so on and so forth. These psychos, you know, it's monkey see, monkey do, man. You remember when that Lorena Bobbitt cut off her husband's penis?
Yeah.
Do you know how many stories there were of guys cutting off their own penises? I mean, it sounds insane, but there were stories of guys taking chainsaws to their own genitalia. You ask yourself, why? I don't know why. Because they're processing reality through a completely fractured lens, because they're psychotic. Hey, look at this. Here's something. A guy cut off, a penis is gone somehow. I know, I must cut my own penis off. That's how it's going into their minds. Some of these guys that they're arresting are some real pieces of work. These guys look like they're out to lunch, man.
What's that guy?
This guy is this Alexander Cunha. He's accused of killing his roommate, Coupe Bocoto Lalala. I don't know the cat's name. And eating his heart and part of his brain. I just think it's, Walking Dead. Now, if this were the 80s or the 70s, the first thing you'd be hearing would be the following thing. It's all of these ghoul movies.
Well, yeah, that's what it seems like.
No, it's not, man. That's got nothing to do with it. Because if these psychotic people are hell-bent on violence, it doesn't matter what the violence is. They're processing through their sadistic, violent, screwed-up reality, whatever the culture is showing. If it isn't cannibalism, it'd be something else. Maybe there's a TV show on about guys throwing knives. Maybe there's a TV show on about, open-heart surgery, cutting off your penis. They're going to do what they're going to do.
You don't think the ghoul movies do it?
No, the ghoul movies. But I'm telling you, thank God we live in 2012, because I lived through that period where that's what's causing it, all the violent movies. Violent movies will have an effect on a twisted and warped brain, yes. But a twisted and warped brain is going to act out regardless of whether there's a violent movie, whether there was a violent photograph, whether there was a violent argument that he heard, whether he, you know, it doesn't make any difference, man. These people are walking time bombs anyway.
Well, at that time, Dr. Stone said that marijuana make it worse.
Their psychosis can be triggered by drugs, but the fact is they're on their way to becoming psychotic anyway. Doesn't matter, man. You go ahead and smoke some weed, drop some acid, you become a schizophrenic. You were schizophrenic anyway. So that's what's going on, and I hope that makes you feel better, bud. Although somehow I realize that it won't.
No, I'm okay. I want you to explain about the Stone Age tribe, too.
We'll get into the Stone Age tribe. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, so there's your ghoulish zombie stuff. The toughest part of this to get used to is that these are sick people, you know. You want to stomp them out. You want to kill them. You want to do, you know. I don't blame you, and that guy did need to be shot. But in point of fact, if he was apprehended and the police had him in a cage someplace right now, you'd have to say, the guy's, he's gone, man. He's freaking gone. All right, we'll be right back here. World famous Phil Hendry Show, our news and information hour, and philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Sure. That's the ones that ran. The zombies, yeah, and 28 days later, 28 weeks later, they ran.
So what are you trying to say?
Well, if one of the zombies was, say, I don't know, Carl Lewis, you're dead, man. You're a dead man.
But he's got a rage virus.
Doesn't make any difference. Imagine if one of the zombies is Carl Lewis or Bob Hayes, one of the, you know, you couldn't run fast enough, man. It would always catch you.
Well, you'd have to kill it.
Oh, will you come on? I'm joking around, man.
Well, I'm sure, man. You think there's going to be a zombie that's got record-breaking speed? Well, that's what Phil is saying.
Bud, will you relax?
No, I'm talking about the 28 days later one, if there's a rage virus.
That's something some jackass made up for a screenplay. Are you nuts? Yeah, that's right. Carl Lewis just got bit by one of the zombies, and he is a smoking fast zombie.
Shut up!
Man, that is pretty funny.
Funny? God, I gotta send it into, community. Or somebody. I had to send it in, man. No, man, yes, they ran. You're right.
That's all I was trying to say.
Yes, theoretically, you're right, bud. If they are running zombies and one of the zombies happened to have won a gold medal at the Olympics, then yes, you've got a zombie that is smoking ass down the road, catching and eating everybody.
They didn't eat him, though.
It was, yeah, they bit him. They had the rage virus. They wanted to kick their ass. Isn't that what that did?
Yeah, I thought they ate him.
No, the rage virus. They kicked ass.
Isn't that it?
Yeah, they, all they want to do is just mess people up.
Right. It was a bunch of running zombies that just wanted to mess you up. And if they bit you, you got infected. And all I said to Bud is I go, hey, Bud, you know those zombies that run?
Shut up.
Well, I'm going to say it, man, because you're the guy that brought it up. I said, you know the zombies that run, and 28 days later, he goes, yeah. I go, what if one of them was just had, you know, smoking speed on the outside as a wide receiver in the NFL? You know, what if Terrell Owens, for instance, who's now, you know, he's out of the NFL. Did you hear about that?
Well, I love the indoor football.
Yeah, Terrell Owens was cut by the Indoor Football League. Okay, and he's still probably pretty fast, though. What if he got bit by a rage virus zombie, and now Terrell Owens is just coming after you, bud?
Shut up!
He's coming down there, man. He's on his way. He scores! Bud's been eaten.
Shut up!
Yeah, man.
If Emmett Thomas tried to kick his ass, he would bite Emmett Thomas.
Emmett Thomas?
Yeah, what he did, the star.
Oh, yeah, Terrell Owens. Yeah, he pissed off all the Cowboy fans. That was very nice. It wasn't Emmett Thomas. It was George Teague. What happened?
Who's he?
On the Cowboy, when Terrell Owens, and then I got to get to the news. Terrell Owens, during a football game when he was with the 49ers and he was playing against the Cowboys, after he scored a touchdown, he ran to the middle of the field and he slammed the ball down on the Dallas Star, which was a complete and obvious act, a sign of disrespect for the Dallas Cowboys. Nothing happened. You know, everybody was sort of stunned. You know, what a classless slob. And so then he scored another touchdown, and he ran to the Star, did the same thing. Only this time, George Teague, who was a defensive back, came up and laid him out, basically. Came up with a flying block, and then the offensive lineman got into it. You know, the big bodyguards. So, I don't know. It'd be George Teague.
But George Teague become one.
Hey, bud, enough with your who becomes a zombie, okay? Forget it.
About Zola Bud.
Zola Budd, if she became a zombie, she'd, you know, run you down over about a two-mile course, but right away, I don't know. All right, so anyway, welcome back. There is some unacceptably bizarre news. We got to roll through some of this stuff. Neighbor 75 shot and killed a 13-year-old after accusing the child of stealing his guns. A 75-year-old Milwaukee man charged in the fatal shooting of a 13-year-old boy who lived next door had been a repeated target of break-ins. John Henry Spooner was charged with one count of first-degree intentional homicide. Spooner was arrested Thursday after waiting for police at the crime scene on Milwaukee's South Side. Yeah, I shot him, he told police. Police said they're investigating whether there was a history of disagreements between the man and the boy. The boy, identified as Darius Simmons, was unarmed when he was shot in the street outside their homes. Bad.
Why? Because it wasn't in the guy's house?
Well, it wasn't in the guy's house. I mean, if you're talking about being, your house is broken into, I don't know. Anyway, according to the complaint, Spooner approached Simmons as the boy retrieved a garbage cart from in front of the house. The boy's mother, Patricia Larry, who saw the shooting, said Spooner told her son he wanted his stuff back and that he wanted his shotguns back. Simmons and his mother told Spooner they did not have his property. Spooner then pulled a gun, pointed it at Simmons, and fired one shot from about 5 feet away. That's just cold-blooded, man. Spooner fired a second shot at Simmons as the boy was running away, according to the complaint. An autopsy found the boy suffered a gunshot wound to his chest, and the bullet damaged the ventricles of his heart before exiting his back. Police recovered a weapon as well as two spent casings. Spooner remained in jail. A phone message left at his home was not immediately returned. Because he's in jail, there's nobody there.
Baby's got a wife.
I know, it wasn't clear if he had an attorney. The case wasn't, I'm looking at these two houses. They look like, they look like the sort of typical houses that you see on the periphery of downtown areas, you know, like in a city, but maybe at one time this was a residential area, you know?
Yeah, like the old, like 19th century house.
Yeah, and they were next door neighbors. I looked out the door and I saw the mother kneeling over her boy at the curb screaming. My son and the old guy was standing right over there by the stop sign with his dog just waiting. God, that's a cat that's just given up on life, man.
That old guy?
Yeah. Here, I'll just shoot you now. Okay, wait for the cops. I'm going to jail. That's it. Life probably for him was, you know, good. You go to prison. But now here's a story that you're going to love. And guess which state we're talking about? A woman is caught performing a sex act on herself, basically. You know what that is. And she's arrested by the side of a highway, only wearing a shirt and exposing herself to passing motorists. She comes originally from Alabama. I don't know about a banjo on her knee. She looks like she's got two black eyes as she was booked into the jail there in Florida. Yes, you're right, Florida.
Gave it away.
I know, I shouldn't have. She was busted in Ocala, Florida, playing with herself, not wearing any underwear, wearing only a shirt. She's a 35-year-old woman by the name of Ashley Horton.
Hey, I know her. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I bet she's mom's gonna hear the story.
Well, Mom, if you're listening, Ashley just got arrested in Florida. Ashley Horton, 35, of Alabama, was jailed on Sunday after she allegedly masturbated in front of passing motorists on a busy Florida highway.
Why you arrest her for that?
Funny. Horton later described the biting action as a love tap, according to the Miami News. She bit the cops that busted her. She sounds like some just trash, and she looks like it, too. Nice going there, baby. I guess she thinks she's hot. I bet you a dollar to a donut. She's about as funky and hanky as the day is long, but that's just me, you know.
Well, I ain't seen a nude yet.
No, I wasn't driving down that road in Ocala, so I missed my opportunity. We'll be right back with more here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Yoo-hoo!
This is Harvey Wireman. You're listening to the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. News and Information Hour here with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. We will be off for a couple of nights early next week as we travel outside of the confines of the Los Angeles, California area to get some business done. And on behalf of our radio show, and we will be returning midweek, not a big problem. And we thank you very much. If you'd like to know what affiliates carry our radio show, you can go to our homepage, philhenryshow.com, and just look under Affil, P-H-I-L, Eats, and look for your state, look for your town, and hopefully you'll find your city there with an affiliate. Well, it was on June the 28th of 2011, just about a year ago, that Ryan Dunn was killed when his Porsche GT3 crashed at 140 miles an hour and burst into flames, killing both Ryan Dunn and his passenger Zachary Hartwell. Well, the best friend of Ryan Dunn did not die. I don't want to say that, but just came damn close. Bam Margera, who is also a cast member of TV's Jackass, as well as, I believe, a member of the cast of the movie, right, Bud?
Yeah, all those guys are in the Jackass, the movie, too.
This guy, Bam, who performed a lot of outrageous stunts on Jackass, he's not able to shake that daredevil streak. The 32-year-old is currently in a hospital after kayaking off a 100-foot cliff in Oregon 2 days ago.
What?
Yep.
Well, that's what they do on Jackass.
No, I know that, but how you figure you're going to survive that?
Well, let's read here. He tweeted a picture from his sickbed yesterday, revealing he had to undergo an emergency operation following the fall. The picture of him laying in the hospital bed, he doesn't look any worse for the wear. I mean, he looks banged up, but he's looking good. His right shoulder appears to have perhaps some ice applied to it. Alongside the picture, he wrote, hernia operation after a 100-foot kayak drop. Oh.
Oh, no, man.
Oh.
What?
Oh!
What?
I'm kidding. I don't know.
Well, what are you saying?
I don't know. I'm thinking, if you're in a kayak, you got a hernia, which is sometimes the lower abdominal wall. Okay.
Talk about, oh, God, you're talking about it. Oh, yeah, he blew one up.
No, wait a minute, Bud. I'm not saying that. I mean, you're going to hit the water in that kayak. Maybe he, yeah, well, no. We'll see. Anyway, he said he had to have a hernia operation. He paddled off the cliff along with pro kayaker Steve Fisher, but it is not clear if he was also injured. Now, don't you think that would make the news, too?
Yeah, I wonder if he was.
If he wasn't injured, they were both in the same kayak. You can see two guys in this kayak, and I mean, they are going straight down, okay? They are like, ooh! So, if he wasn't injured, then it could be something having to do with the way that Margera was positioned in the kayak. Or he didn't, you know, I don't know, he just wasn't as, he didn't insulate himself as well as the other guy. Or maybe that other guy is dead and his body was washed down the river and they'll never find it.
Probably.
In any event, I'm kidding, folks. So that's what happened. Now, Bam was left devastated last year when his close friend and Jackass co-star Ryan Dunn was killed. Dunn died in June of 2011 when he crashed his Porsche GT3 at 140 miles an hour and the vehicle burst into flames. Both Ryan and his passenger, Zachary Hartwell, were both killed instantly. In the wake of the accident, an inconsolable Bam spoke to a local news station and was so distraught he could barely put his loss into words. It was the worst phone call I ever had in my life, he said as he wept. Margera, who was in Arizona at the time of the crash, visited the crash scene in Philadelphia 2 days after the accident. He was visibly overcome, rocking back and forth in agony at the guardrail that the car crashed through. I never lost anybody they cared about. It's my best friend, he told TV station WTXF. He was the happiest person ever. He was the smartest guy. He had so much talent. I had so many things going for him. This is not right, he said. You know what, son? I mean, I shouldn't say son. It's like, you're absolutely right. It don't make any sense. Don't make any sense. But you are lucky, my brother, to be alive, you know.
Yeah, man, that guy's living. He's alive.
I'm alive.
You're alive, man. 100-foot drop off a cliff. If you think about it, and I'm saying this with the greatest of respect, if you die and you're a guy, if you work in the TV show, and I'm not saying Ryan Dunn was driving his car like a, you know, just like a maniac. I don't know what he was thinking.
Maybe that's part of the show.
That wasn't part of the show.
What do you mean part of the show?
God, what are you talking about, man? Why wouldn't it be part of the show?
They don't do anything that crazy.
No, man. All they do is get into a shopping cart with explosives strapped to it. Are you nuts?
Well, okay, but you got a chance of surviving that. There's nothing jackassy about driving. Yes, you're a jackass if you're driving your Porsche at 140 miles an hour and it goes through a guardrail and explodes and burns. But the whole idea of jackass stunts is that you got a fighting chance to survive them. And I don't think I think that goes beyond the scope of the jackass stunt. I think that's just reckless driving, you know?
Yeah, well, if you get in a shopping cart and go down a hill.
Well, what is that? That's jackass, is what it is. You're a jackass. You're not endangering anybody else. That's the thing that we got to point out about that. You're in a car doing that kind of speed on a public highway, a public thoroughfare. You are going to possibly kill somebody else that is just driving down the road, minding their own business, enjoying a nice sunny day, and here comes some cat in a Porsche going like a bat out of hell. The jackass stunts, nobody's going to get hurt except the jackass, you know?
Well, are you sure?
Yeah, pretty much, if you think about it.
Yeah, I'm absolutely sure. Who's going to get hurt by these two guys coming off the waterfall, 100-foot drop straight down, other than those two guys? Or flowing, you know, going down a hill in a shopping cart, or coming off of a freaking, you know, some kind of handrail on your skateboard, or whatever. No, man, they ain't getting driving a car fast. That's not a jackass stunt. That's called drunk driving. I don't know. Did they have booze in...
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think they did.
You don't think they did? I don't know, and I hate to say. So, glad to hear you're okay, sir. Bam Margera. A teacher and a cheerleading coach who had sex with three male students gets no jail time but has to register as a sex offender for 25 years. Interesting. A former teacher and cheerleading coach from Kansas who had admitted to having sex with three male students was placed on a 32-month probation on Friday as part of a plea deal. Here's another thing. This whole teachers having sex with students thing. Female teachers having sex with students. Remember, it was just like that Mary Kay Letourneau, and then it was another one, and now it's almost like an epidemic. Is that because a lot of these frustrated women, sexually frustrated or sexually immature or emotionally immature women, are suddenly somehow have been given permission to go and have sex with students? No. It's that these sexually frustrated women or sexually immature women are having sex with their own students as opposed to having sex with one of the bag boys at the supermarket or some kid that came to clean the pool.
Oh, so that's what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. In other words, these women are accidents waiting to happen anyway. But the culture's processed through how jacked up our brains are. So she's going to see all these other teachers doing it. She's going, oh, I'll do that too, because that's kind of like what's happening. It's a monkey see, monkey do culture. But that's why the monkey sees and the monkey do's.
What? Monkey paid his dues.
Yeah.
Yeah, the monkey paid his D-O-S. A former teacher and cheerleading coach from Kansas who had admitted to having sex with three male students was placed on a 32-month probation on Friday as part of a plea deal. Michelle Preston of Lenexa, Kansas, would have to serve the 32 months in prison if she violates the conditions of her three-year probation. Preston, who's married and has an infant daughter, also will have to register as a sex offender for 25 years. That's messed up.
What's that mean?
That means she can't, you know, she's a sex offender. That means that if you move onto her street and you look up the sex offenders that live on the street and you see Mary, what's this chick? What's her name?
Michelle.
Michelle Preston. She's a sex offender. Okay? I mean, it's a drag. So she's going to be coming up on... coming up on the sex offender website of every single state in the union. I don't know if it's just Kansas or wherever else. It's an awful long time. She's paying a very high price for very bad judgment, her attorney Scott Toth said after Friday's hearing in Johnson County District Court. Preston showed no emotion as the judge imposed sentence. One of the reasons why we look at this and we say, this is why this argument doesn't take. There's somebody out there is saying the following thing right now. They're saying, boy, if a man did that, they wouldn't just call it bad judgment. They'd call him a pervert and a da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay? But you know and I know that no one's listening to that guy.
Yeah, I know. Why?
The reason? Because the victim reacts to the crime differently in the case of the female teacher as opposed to a female student. Meaning, when you have a female student, she is violated, she's traumatized. There's a million things going on with a female, and even if she's not, we perceive her to have been more viciously violated. with a boy, and you can deny it if you want to, I don't give a damn, with a boy, we don't think he has been as badly abused. We think somewhere along the line the boy, you know, enjoyed it. Or it was a coming-of-age thing. It was bad judgment? Sure. An adult woman should not be having sex with an underage minor? Sure. But we don't see that as a violation the way we see the other as a violation, because girls are more vulnerable, because we know all about the raping of women, the molestation of female children. But with a boy, we don't feel as sorry for him. Because a lot of men put themselves in that kid's shoes and very cynically say,
well, I might have enjoyed it at his age if I was him.
And I mean, that's what happens, you know.
You realize what's going to happen now, Mr. Henry. You're going to get a lot of email in right here in this article here. Or, I'm sorry.
What are you doing, man?
I want to point something out to you. People are going to send emails in saying you're being irresponsible. That'll be the number one email we get. That and what happened to you on KNEW.
Now, all right, will you shut up, bud? We don't have to go into a whole song and a dance. Maybe we'll get emailed. Ask me if I care, okay?
You care?
No.
Then what? Yes.
Preston showed no emotion other than the fact that she opened her legs wide and pointed between them as the judge looked at her.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
Let me see.
No! Sorry, that's very childish of me. Preston, who showed no emotion, although she was pointing like, hey, judge! No. Imposed sentence and made no public comments afterward, Fox 4 has reported. Who's Fox 4?
That's the name of the reporter.
Right. Preston taught psychology and world geography and coached cheerleading at Shawnee Mission West High School in Overland Park before she was suspended after the allegation surfaced in 2011. Here's a picture of her. Here's her mugshot. Not bad in a pinch.
Yeah, she'll do.
I mean, look at that. Now she's a piece of meat, right? This is the one time you can talk about a woman like she's a piece of meat when she's been involved with this kind of thing. I think it's terrible. But look what we're doing. We're making a big joke out of it.
Well, then don't make a joke out of it. Don't accuse people of doing it. You do yourself.
Look at Bud. I'm just the reporter. Don't kill the messenger if you don't like the messenger. Don't kill the message. Go ahead and kill the messenger. So that's that story. And it's a sad one, and it sucks. We gave you the story about the lady. Now, what about this fat cat? What's the problem here?
No, just a cat weighed, they're going to try to adopt out a cat that weighs something like 35 pounds.
35-pound cat. Oh, yeah, I saw this. It's a big cat, and it isn't just fat. It's big, man.
Yeah, it's about 4 feet long.
4 feet? It's not one of those Savannah cats, is it?
No, it's not one of them. It's a regular house cat, it's just a big one.
God almighty, they're trying to adopt this cat out. It's right now living with the rescue workers at wherever, some rescue center, some animal rescue center. And they're looking for the right home. I don't know. I mean, I would adopt that cat because I'm a single man and I ain't got, you know, I just don't have the time for a dog. If I got a dog, I'm too busy and I work too late and I can't be awakened at 8 a.m. for a dog that needs to go outside and take a dump. So forget it, man.
Yeah, but think about that cat, man. Probably take a dog-side dump.
Yeah, no question about that. But at least they got to bury it.
Do you know how much kitty litter you got to buy for a cat like that, man? And forget about the regular tray.
Yeah, I'd probably get like probably a couple, maybe 10 pounds of it.
And forget about the cat box. You'd have to buy something that's like...
Probably got a sandbox.
A sandbox. You mean you're telling me that I'd have to buy a kid's sandbox?
For a cat that size? Yeah.
God, think of that, man. Where are you going to put that? You got a kid's sandbox. You got God knows how much cat litter to put in it. And the cat's taking man-sized dumps.
You think so?
Yes, man. Well, no. I mean, who knows?
But he better bury it.
Did I ever tell you about this cat that I had? I swear to God, this cat knew every morning I went into my office to work. This is a number of years ago. And every morning that I went into that office to work, it smelled like that cat had just taken a dump. And I swear, this cat knew, just for laughs, he'd go in and take a dump just before I went in there to go to work.
I feel a lot of cats. But, oh, got to take a break, Phil.
Oh, sorry, Dan. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Man-sized pumps.
For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com.
This is the world-famous Bill Henry Show.
What are you doing? Well, I'm trying to find that picture of the cat for people. I'm talking about the damn cat. I think I ought to be able to find the cat, you know? Here it is. I just found him. SpongeBob is the name of his cat. And if you're watching on Phil TV in HD, I'm going to flip over to this little pictorial they have here. Now, look at the size of this guy.
God, man, that cat is almost big a lady.
That lady that's holding the cat is a worker at the animal shelter in New York City. Her name is Kendra Mara. She's the associate director of Animal Haven in New York. And look at that slob, man. She's holding it. Look at him, man. There he's smiling. He's looking at her. She's got to hold that sucker.
Man, I've never seen a cat that big.
Now, this is different from the Savannah cat that we were talking about. And the Savannah cat is a crossbreed between a domestic and the Savannah. And here's the cat just laying on his back there.
Yeah, he probably wants to have a stomach scratch. That's why cats do that?
Yeah. He's laying on his back wanting to have his tummy scratched there. That's a lot of tummy. And here's another picture of him sitting in her lap. And so look at how big that dude is. And he is a, as I say, he's living there at the animal shelter in New York City. And I suppose at some point they're going to adopt him out to somebody who's, you know.
You'd have to love, there's no question you'd have to have a lot of money, folks. If you're out thinking about getting a cat that big, then you should have enough money for cat litter that would be probably the, if they sell it by the 100-pound bag, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, what are you saying, bud?
You gotta have money.
Yeah, you'd have to have money to have a cat like that. I don't think you gotta be buying 100-pound bags of litter. I mean, the dude is, he's a big cat. The Savannah cats, though, are really out there. I mean, they're real different. They're the size of a small dog. Actually, a medium-sized dog.
But what? It's a cat?
It's a cat. It's a crossbreed between a domestic cat and some species of African cat, one of those mid-sized cats, you know.
Well, you're talking about like it's a car.
Well, whatever. Yeah, I mean, whatever you call these cats, you know, it's not an ocelot, but it's one of those cats that are kind of those small cats. And the thing is domesticated, man. I mean, he's like purring and walking around, and he gets up on the furniture and gets up on the counter in the kitchen and is just like a regular cat, but man, the food bill on that sucker.
Yeah, that cat would eat like a dog.
Oh, yeah, man, there's no question. The freaking food bill on a cat like that. And you don't want to declaw a cat like that. That would just be cruel, man. So get ready, man, to have your furniture just torn to shreds.
Well, man, why would you want to do that?
Well, not every cat claws the hell out of stuff, but I mean, you know.
Get a scratching post.
Yeah, get out of here with a scratching post. Let me tell you something. That stuff never works. Never, ever, ever work. You can give the cat, you got the scratching post right there, and what has the cat done? He's turned your furniture basically into garbage while the scratching post is untouched. So, people are really weird when it comes to their pets, and that's fine. I got nothing against that. But what I do have a real problem with is the way that we experiment with animals. And then we realize, well, we got no use for that. So, you know, that's a species that's I don't know, just it's very odd. Animals were bred primarily for their ability to be companions or for some kind of a function that they some sort of a service they could provide, if you will, or some kind of natural ability that they had. Dogs, you know, are good as overall guardians or overall protection. Cats never became pets. I mean, pets until the early 19th century.
Well, they do that.
Before that, they were literally mousers. They were literally in the house to get rid of vermin. And it wasn't until the 19th century that people started to go, oh, wow, this cat's kind of cool. And, you know, let me be my, you know, have him be a partner in my business. Anyway, the world famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Henry. Join us online at philhenryshow.com for all of your Phil Henry Show needs. And we will see you guys on Thursday night, Join us online at philhenryshow.com. I will be updating the website on my journey out of state over the next several days. So join us online. I'll also be updating the blogs, and I'll be talking to you guys. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.